All right, Bob, we've talked about introductions in a previous episode. Let's think about the opposite end of that that sermon, the conclusion.
Yeah.
And as Pentecostals, I think generally we are always preaching toward some sort of response. So that is yes. a part of our conclusion.
It right? is, but let's not confuse homiletically a conclusion with the response.
Sure. Very good.
Those are different things. Now, you're right.
Unpack that for me.
You're right. We often bring to the climactic moment of response in our concluding
sure.
setting of our sermon.
That's true.
But let's not confuse in the sermon what a conclusion is with our response. Now, let me say first and foremost, Pentecostal preaching must. And there's in the realm that I live in daily about, you know, theology and academics and doing this, the question is, what do Pentecostals believe? What is Pentecostal? That surprisingly, maybe surprisingly to some people, is a wide open and somewhat fiercely debated topic.
Sure.
And ultimately, with most people commenting on it in an academic setting, left somewhat ambiguous.
Sure.
But I would say, even in the light of that, there is something that is a must in Pentecostal preaching. We do not preach exclusively to accomplish an intellectual end. Our preaching is not just
yes.
so that they know something.
Absolutely.
Or even exclusively that they go do or not do something.
Absolutely.
Which is, Haddon Robinson said that the goal of all good preaching is moral improvement.
Right.
I think that is painfully reductionistic.
Yeah.
Way too low. And as a Pentecostal, we are driving for a response. And because of that, now here's why this does matter to our conclusions. Because more often than not, our introductions tend to creep longer than they should.
Sure. That's right? Very true.
Whether it's whether in preparation it was intended to creep that, or if it's just in the practical realities of delivering it, they creep too long. Number two, once we've done that, we begin to compress the rest of the sermon.
Sure.
How many times have you heard a sermon that point one is four times the length
absolutely.
Of point three?
Yeah, sure.
And if that happens in our exposition of Scripture, and we have this value to get to a response, an encounter, whether it be an invitation for salvation, an invitation for healing, an invitation for encouragement, or whatever we're calling for in that encounter moment, we're going to drive to that.
Sure.
The thing I would argue, if you look at most sermons in our setting, there is the pressure of time. The thing that gets cut almost entirely.
Yeah.
Is the conclusion.
That's true.
It disappears.
Yeah, that's true. It falls off completely.
And I think it's often the last thing a preacher gets around to preparing.
Yes, that's probably true.
And so it's easily the first thing they ditch.
Right.
That's why sermon point three gets down to about 3 minutes.
Sure. We're rushing through it at
we're
the end.
We're rushing. And we're like, we're cutting, and I got to give the altar call.
We're mentally cutting all sorts of things.
So we take it out.
Yeah,
so now,
that's true.
Let us, the best thing you can do for your conclusion is be effective with your introduction.
Sure.
And be time, control your time management moving through the sermon.
Good, yeah.
Now, in a conclusion, you got to tie it up for people.
Yeah.
They don't have to be deep. I love a good conclusion that wraps around from the introduction.
Sure.
I think that's the highest form for me. I introduce a problem with a good story. And if I can tie it up with the resolution of that story that brings it to a conclusion in light of where God's word has already taken us, I love that. But that's not the only way.
Sure.
The simplest one is just restate.
The points.
Your points.
Yeah. Or the point.
Hit the big idea
and
the supporting points.
Sure.
Or if, depending on the model of sermon you're using, bring it to refocusing on the big idea.
Yeah, that's where I think conclusions can often go awry, that the preacher has rushed into that moment, and rather than just restating what the congregation, yes, what the takeaways from that sermon are, suddenly a thought hits, and then we're adding, and I know this is one of your big pet peeves, we're adding new information into a conclusion, and then the congregation, I think if they're a little bit weary, then they're just like, oh man,
frustrated,
get
and
me out of here,
and they're no longer taking in new content.
Correct.
So you've got to, conclusions matter. There's little things in our preaching that we tend to think don't matter. We think, well, I already explained it well, they've got it. No,
right.
You've got to leave them with, and you've got to bring it together for them, tie up the loose ends. The other thing,
repetition matters.
It does, yeah, matter. In an oral presentation, repetition is the most effective way,
sure,
to drive home your point.
What did you say? Okay. I was giving you an opportunity to repeat there. That probably went over everyone's head because it went over yours, and you're a smart guy.
If you notice, I'm just giving you a dirty look. Yes, right now.
Yes.
Yes. See, this is how to use.
I'm feeling all the looks.
See, this is, yeah, how you can use body language to convey. That's a topic for another day, but watch this.
If you're just listening, you probably should check this out on YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah.
See the angry looks.
Yes.
It's worthwhile.
Wrap it up.
Yeah.
Little things matter in your sermon. Exposition, I'll never compromise exposition as being primary.
Sure.
But transitions, conclusions, they matter. You gotta bring it home for them.
Sure.
And that's going to be the last thing they hear. It will be the last thing that they take away. You gotta button it up for them.
So would you recommend manuscripting the conclusion? Put something on paper so that we hit what we need to hit and are a little more careful, or not necessarily?
You know, I think between introductions and conclusions, I would be more likely to manuscript. Now, I manuscript everything.
Sure.
But I would tend to be more manuscript heavy for people, the introduction.
And like you said, the introduction is going to affect the conclusion. So you want to be careful there.
That's where I think we creep.
Sure.
More. Now, the conclusion, not that I wouldn't, and again, I do.
Yeah.
But I would say if it's not a full manuscript, it still has, you've got to have a clearly articulated target.
Sure.
Are you just going to summarize and restate your points? Are you going to wrap around the conclusion in the retelling of the opening story? Mm. Are you going to tell a new story that brings it all together? There's a variety of ways to do that. Here's what you need more than anything. You just need to know what you're going to do with it so that you get to it. You've,
sure,
got to put thought to it and manage the movement of your sermon.
I love that.
So you don't skimp and cut out the actual conclusion.
Good. So, big takeaway. I just heard this in a sermon actually not too long ago. The preacher said, "Man, I've run too long. Bow your heads."
Oh.
And it caught me off guard, right? So I think the big takeaway that you're saying is repeat, wrap up,
yep,
refocus,
summarize
on that big idea.
Don't introduce new, sure, material.
Yeah.
As far as like new ideas.
Sure. That should have all happened in the sermon.
That should be done. And now you are only restating, re-summarizing, re-illustrating the conclusion. And I would say this should be 3 to 5 minutes for a typical sermon.
Perfect. Yeah, great. Thanks.